word today with the reverence that it and you deserve, for we know who you are. We are very conscious of our inadequacies, the limitations of the human mind to deliver as well as to receive the infinite wisdom of God that has been compressed into this written word. And so we need your help. We come to you asking for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, that I might speak as I should indeed as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so that your word will have free course, Father, from you, through me, to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released to follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men to become doers of the word and not hearers only. Father, I further pray for mercy to be faithful as I deliver the word, that I will do it with precision, redeeming the time and saying only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving the blessing in their life, said, today I'm going to be sharing with us a prophetic landmark message that's a spin-off of something that was sent to me about 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was actually Pastor Dwe who sent this. And I shared it with all the pastors, and then I was led by the Spirit to ask them to put it on the mailing list and send it out, because it is a present word. It's prophetic in the sense that it is, the experience of it is ahead of us. For the majority of the church, in fact, for all the church, and that's why it's prophetic. But it's a landmark message in the sense that it's a message that we must come to. It is a reality we must experience to close this age. And I've entitled it the same title that was given at the top of it. I first of all heard Kenneth Copeland preach this many years ago. And I've spoken about it here in church myself on occasion. And I've call it zero sin rate. Everybody say zero sin rate. I didn't hear you. Zero. Everybody say zero sin rate. That means you can come to a place in your Christian life where the amount of sin you do is zero. In other words, there's no, you know. And this is a truth that is inside the Bible, but many people shy away from it. Nobody talks about it. Very few people preach about it. I've heard almost zero messages on it. I think the only person I've heard zero sin rate, zero messages. I think the only person I've actually heard, you know, who is actually touched on this has been Kenneth Copeland. And he preached it in 1980 in Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting. I was very, very blessed. You know, and I was all fired up because God had begun to speak to me about it, you know, while I was in London in Imperial College, and I began to write the scriptures down. So when Kenneth Copeland started preaching it in Tulsa, I was so excited. I said, God, this man is preaching my message. And the God says, no, your message is not his message. It's my message. You know, but I'm going to just... there are things I've been talking about in recent times, and it's a convergence, you see. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says in one place, says the Spirit is speaking expressly. When the Spirit of God wants to do something in the church, that's why we have both the prophetic and the apostolic ministries and the anointings. He begins to declare it. First of all, so that people will know about it. Secondly, so that people become inspired, fired up to want to do it. Then thirdly, so that people will be instructed as to how to do it. And then they will have faith for it, and they'll start practicing it. And then finally, they will come to experience it. It is for this reason the Bible tells us, it says, believe his prophets. You know, so shall you prosper. Believe the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Prosper in the purpose that the prophets speak about. Many times when prophets speak, they always speak about something that nobody is doing at the moment. And that's why many people, you know, find it difficult to believe the prophetic ministry. Because it's usually something that's a little bit ahead of what the majority of the church is believing and experiencing at the moment. But if there is no prophetic ministry, the Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. If it is never declared, if it is never spoken about, if it is never preached, if it is never taught, it will never happen. And that's the reason why it is important for us to preach these things. The quotation was taken from George Warnock's book, The Feast of Tabernacles, which George Warnock wrote in 1951. For heaven's sake. Until today, most of it has been ignored by the church. Nobody wants to talk about that. But it's part of my mandate. When God called me in 1980, he gave me Ephesians chapter 4. And it's interesting. And of course, I did not know George Warnock at that time. You know, it's that same scripture, one of those same scriptures that George Warnock used to teach on this and tell us what the plan of God was. It's still current, is for the church. We've now come to a place in time and in history where these things, the experience and the manifestation of them are imminent. And hence this prophetic message. Now, let's start in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 verse 9. This is a scripture that is a very uncomfortable scripture. People don't like talking about it. You know. I'm going to first of all read in the King James. Then secondly we'll read in the Amplified. But let's read it first of all in the King James. Let us all open our mouths and say, whosoever is born of God. Everybody just stop. Look at your neighbor. Are you born of God? Don't be afraid. Just ask them. It's a simple, innocent question. Are you born of God? So it is talking about you. It's very interesting. He didn't say John. He didn't say apostles. He didn't say. He said whosoever. God is trying to tell us something here. That is not only. It's available for every Christian. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Ouch. Ouch. For he's not explaining the reason why he does not. I'm going to break this all down in a few minutes. For his seed remaineth. That word remain is a very functional word. We're going to see it in a minute. Remaineth in him, and he what? Cannot sin. Because he's born of God. There's only two things you can do with this scripture. You can either believe it or throw it away. You can either accept it and say, God, give me wisdom, like it says in the book of James, which we're dealing with at the moment, where it says, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Give me wisdom, help me understand this thing. Or you can just say, it's not so. I just can't accept that. Because, of course, we know from our own personal Christian experience and the experience of 2,000 years of the church, this is not true. It's not that it's not true. It's not been experienced. We're Christians, but we see sinning all the time. Now, George Warnock, beautifully, I love the illustrations that he gave. You know, because that's why the Bible says the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. You know, I've used these same illustrations myself by the Spirit over the years. In particular, I remember the illustration between the larva, the cocoon larva and the butterfly. When a butterfly reproduces, it's not a butterfly at first. It's just this tiny insect. It does not look anything like the butterfly. Then it goes into a cocoon. Then it stays there. Then it goes through different stages. We call it metamorphosis. Until gradually the thing develops inside, and then it breaks. Talk about breakthrough, breaker company. Then it breaks the shell, and then a beautiful colored butterfly now comes out. But the thing that was originally, conceived, if I can use that expression, the larva doesn't look like the butterfly. So is the new birth. You're born again. You're a child of God, but instead of a larva stage, you don't look anything like Jesus then. You don't look like that beautiful butterfly, the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you stay with your process, you will undergo a spiritual metamorphosis. And one day you will fly out of your cocoon with all the beautiful colors of the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And men will see a butterfly like the original butterfly. When you understand that, then you can begin to accept these things. Now, let's look at it in the Amplified Bible. It says, whosoever... Let's read it in the Amplified. It says, no one born, begotten of God, deliberately, knowingly, habitually practices sin. Now, the Amplified Bible has broken it down in a more palatable. The King James was a little bit, practices sin. For, now this is the reason. This is the thing we have to get. For, God's nature abides in him. His principle of life. The what? Divine sperm. I like the Amplified Bible here. It's extremely graphic. And right on the point. You see, because to most Christians, Christianity is just religion. They don't realize that you are as much a child of God as you are the physical child of your parents. Of course! If I do a blood test on you, your blood group is going to match your father and your mother's. We do the DNA. It's going to match the DNA of your parents because the thing that became you came from them. The same thing in spirit. The thing that became the child of God came from God. You are of God. It's not religion. It's not joining a church. And here, the Amplified Bible, no holds barred. He calls it what it is, the divine sperm. That's what it is, sperm. But it's spiritual. And that's what enters you when you got born again. Just like the sperm of your natural father traveled up, the fallopian tube, and fertilized an egg inside the womb of your mother to create a new human being, you, or your physical body, that was now attached to the uterine wall and then began to receive nourishment. And gradually, that zygote developed, and then it went into two cells, and then three, and then four, two, then four, then six, then eight, and then the one that was going to become the eye by the DNA instruction that was inside went to the eye. The one that was going to become the ear went to the ear. The one that was going to form the heart formed the heart, you know, and to gradually, that initial zygote doesn't look like you. Now, the way you look now was not the way that thing looked inside your mother's womb. But as it undergoes the process of birth, it begins to multiply and it begins to grow and it begins to change. And after some months, the medical people will tell you, if you do what is called an ultrasound, which is using sound waves to look at the picture, you know, you can see the head form. After about, usually maybe about 12 weeks or so, they can tell you whether it's a boy or a girl. Because the reproductive outcomes are already, you know, already showing up. But it still doesn't look like you. It still looks more like one funny thing like this, you know. The head is like that and it has, you know, and everything. But give it time, it'll become you. Give yourself time, you become like Jesus. Yeah. Give the Lord a clap offering. Yeah. You've got to understand. Spiritually is exactly the same thing. Remains permanently within him, and he cannot practice sinning because he is born of God. He didn't say he can't sin. That's why I prefer this Amplified Bible. It's practice. In other words, it's against his nature. Even if he does sin, he'll be very uncomfortable. He's something inside him will be, you know, he could, but he won't like it. And if he continues, God forbid, he will die. That divine, because it can, just like a natural pregnancy, even though it was originally conceived, even though it was true, it was the baby is there. If the woman starts doing all kinds of stupid things she shouldn't do, you know, eating the wrong kind of food, jumping around, having all kinds of wrong activities, it can affect the baby. And if after some time, you know, we say it will come down. Then, you know, it can be aborted. The thing just, blood and all of that will come out and you lose the baby. Spiritually, it's exactly the same thing. That's why people backslide. If you keep doing something against the divine nature, after a while, it will start hitting, disturbing the thing. And if you're not careful, it will start hemorrhaging, start losing blood, start losing life. If it continues and it's not arrested, you know, what's going to happen? The thing will come down. That's what we say in our language, you know. And then they lose the baby, lose the child. So it is spiritually. If you keep doing the wrong thing, after a while, you lose the divine nature that is inside will come down, all of it will go out. The Bible says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, it takes away. You know, the thing will just fall off. But that's not your portion in Jesus' name. But you see, we have to say this thing because you have to understand the reality. Most Christians don't realize these things are real. This is not religion. This is not joining a church. When you got born again, you got born again. You're born, glory to God, by the same divine sperm. The same thing that put Jesus' body inside the womb of Mary was the same thing that entered your spirit and got it born again. That's why you are called partakers of the divine nature. Now, let me break this down a little bit. You know, I'm going to go to another scripture in a minute, but before I go there, you need to understand something here. You see, this scripture is very, it is not in Jesus' name, can be very confusing if you don't understand that man is a threefold being. That is the secret, that is the key that opens the scripture. So when he says in the King James, when he says, he that is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. What part of him? You see, when we get born again, the seed is in the spirit. But the soul and the body don't have the seed yet. Now, if you put the same seed that is
inside the spirit and you put it inside the soul, the mind, the will and the emotions. You put it inside the body. Just as the spirit stops sinning, the soul will stop sinning. Just as the soul stops sinning, the body will stop sinning. Because the thing that stops it from sinning is that seed. That's why he said his seed. He said for means because. Because his seed, look at the word remaineth. In other words, if I keep that seed inside my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, if I allow it to remain, the power of that seed will cause me not to sin. See, sin is a consequence of a nature. See, a person, I've said it many times, but I'm going to say it again. You're not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you're a sinner. It's logic. I'm going to say it again. Everybody say, you're not a sinner. Man is not a sinner because he sins. He sins because he's a sinner. So it is not the things I do that make me a sinner. It is the sinner that I am that makes me do the things that I do. So to solve the sin problem, I have to solve the nature problem. If I try and solve the sin problem without solving the nature problem, I'm going to get frustration. I'm going to get religion. I'm going to get hypocrisy. I'm going to get legalism. And that's what has happened to the church. The church is trying to solve the sin problem, the sin's problem, without solving the nature problem. And so I go around in circles. I love the way Jesus put it. You know, Jesus has a simple way of saying profound things. He said, clean first the inner part, then the outer will be clean. He said, you try and clean the outer, and the inward part is full of raving and wickedness. You're deceiving yourself. So, what do I need to do? What I need to do is now that same seed, that same sperm, that same divine nature that is inside the spirit, I'm going to now put it inside the mind. I'm going to put it inside the will. I'm going to put it inside the emotions. I'm going to put it inside the body. The same work it does inside the spirit, it will not do it inside the soul. It will not do it inside the body. Then this will become a reality. You cannot sin. Is it clear? Until you break it down into spirit, soul, and body, and understand we are dealing with a nature here, you know, with a substance, this scripture will just dribble you. Because we think, but I'm born again. How is that? He said, cannot sin. How can I? Do you know if the divine nature, in sufficient measure, remains permanently in your spiritual body, you cannot sin? Cannot means cannot. There's too much of God inside. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. This makes it very clear. The very God of peace. I didn't hear you. And when you feel like round, praise you by, you know. Praise the Lord. Oh God, have mercy on us. Amen. This is what the Holy Ghost is telling the church. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Everybody say holy. Means completely. Totally. God for Paul. Honey, what would we do without Paul? You see, if Paul hadn't broken this thing down into spirit, soul, and body, imagine trying to understand 1 John chapter 3 without Romans 8, without 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You can't understand it. Which is what, sadly, the church has tried to do. They've tried to understand the Gospels without the epistles. The first person I ever heard say that was E.W. Kenyon. He said, if you remove the Pauline revelation, do you understand? And all you have, listen to this and think. If you remove, take it from Romans down to Hebrews, remove all of that, then try and understand the rest.
you can never, particularly the perfection epistles, you can never understand it. You see, John is talking to those people with a background of the knowledge that Paul had taught them. He says, whoever is born, I mean, you should know that. He just said it. He said, for whatsoever is born of God, you know, doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth there, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In other words, you understand. But it's not like that. Look at it. The very God of peace sanctify you what? And I pray God, your what? Spirit and be preserved. Hey, stop. Can your soul be blameless? Everybody can accept that their spirit can be blameless, but very few people can believe that the soul can be blameless. But there it is right there. Can your, let's take it further. Can your body be blameless? Oh yes. Then in another scripture, another truth I want to bring out here is that be preserved blameless unto what? The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's going to happen on this side of heaven. It's not going to happen after his coming. It's going to happen unto the coming. So this transaction is going to be done on this side of heaven. Now a lot of people can believe that the soul and the body will be blameless when we get to heaven and at the resurrection, but this scripture removes that theology. It destroys that stronghold. It's not true. It says unto the coming. So there is something I now need to do with the word of God. And put the spirit, the nature of God, and put it inside the soul so that the soul becomes blameless. And put it inside the body. Can you believe that your body will become blameless? That's why we have to. You see how people are looking at me. That's why even in a church like this where you hear perfection day in, day out, people are still saying, You know, you are not talking, but you are talking. Your hearts are transmitters. I am picking all the signal. That's why we have to preach it. So your mind will accept it. Your will will accept it. It will be clear to you. That's why God told me to preach. He said, don't assume that. He said, oh, my people know this. I said, they don't do. They don't. He said, some of them just know it in their head. They haven't seen it in their heart. The spirit, the soul, and the body, the same seed that is in the spirit, the same sperm, the same divine principle, the same divine nature that is in the spirit now needs to be transported into the soul and to complete, we call it perfection, we call it kingdom, completely dominate the soul so it becomes blameless. Then it moves from the soul into the body complete. This is not a partial occupation, it's a total occupation, so it becomes blameless. That word blameless was not written by Olivia Johnson. It's written by Paul. And it was not written by Paul, it was written by the Holy Ghost. So you're gonna have a blameless, everybody open your mouth. I know you don't want to say it, but if you don't start saying it, you will never believe it. Say, by the mercy and the grace of God, I am being sanctified holy, so that my spirit, my mind, my will, my emotions, and my body are being sanctified to become blameless. There will be no fault in my soul, no fault in my body before Jesus comes. Now give the Lord a clap offering. Complete. You know, John Wesley taught these things. They almost killed him. This is one of the you know, John Wesley taught he called it sanctification. He called it a second work of grace. You know, of course, they didn't have all the knowledge that we have today. They didn't have as clear, you know, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, but they spoke in tongues a little bit, but they really didn't understand fully. They used to groan and travail, you know, without, they would slip into it in the Spirit, without really knowing what they were doing, you know, where they would get intense in prayer, you know, and he taught complete and total sanctification. That's where a lot of these people got the doctrine from. You've heard of sanctification. But it's not just a doctrine. It's a reality. And that's why, we're going to sing that hymn later on. You know, that hymn he wrote, Love Divine. Oh, that's what he's talking about. He saw it by revelation. He saw it. Now that I call the Methodists, they were doing things methodically. System, today we call it systematic. Same thing. You know, the way Jesus did it. Somebody sent me something. I don't know whether it was Pastor Wiley, one of the pastors. Sent me something, you know, I think I passed it around to the pastors, you know, about John Wesley. Do you know they were in Oxford University? He's the two brothers. They started a club called the Holy Club. That's what they called it. And they began to teach themselves. They weren't teaching it in the church. The pastors were not teaching it. The vicars and the reverends were not teaching it. So they began to teach themselves. They said they measure every hour. They would pray for greater consecration. What were they doing? What we're doing now? Same thing. You know why he was doing it? He saw it. He saw what the Bible said. And he began to press, even though the prophetic time, the fullness of it hadn't yet come, but he began to press into it. And what happened, at least by the grace of God, God used the Wesley revival to completely turn England upside down, or right way up. It's a fact of history that cannot be denied. When revolution was going on in France, revival was taking place in England, simultaneously with just a small channel separating them. Two completely different ideologies and mindsets, if you like. Because some young boys in Oxford University, who were not pastors, they were nothing. Who saw what the Bible said and began to pray and began to seek God, and by their spiritual activity, they affected the atmosphere of an entire nation. There was hardly any town or hamlet in England that you went to back in those days that had not been affected by the Wesley revival. And on the wings of that came the Industrial Revolution. And it catapulted Britain right to become a world power. Because a few young boys saw what the Bible said and chose to believe. They kicked him out of the church. He'd be an Anglican. They kicked him. John Wesley. they said, don't come and preach all that heresy here. You know, but his father's tombstone was just, you know, in those days, they still do it in many of the Anglican churches today. You see all the burial ground just next to the church. So he said, okay, you can kick me out of the church, but you can't kick me. At least I can stand on my father's tombstone. So he stood on his father's grave, put his pulpit there, and said, the world is my parish. You can't stop a winner. Hallelujah. But I said all that to inspire us. You know, so we haven't preached anything new. Anything new? Any honest person, I was a young boy, I was only 21 years old when I saw these things, and I decided to say it and believe it and preach it. And the same reverence, the same religious system. Oh my, it's not, it's a spirit. It's called Babylon. The same spirit that came against those boys in 1700 came against us also today. Nobody wants to believe it. Nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to preach it. Nobody wants to talk about it. And by some magic, we expect Jesus to come tomorrow. You keep hearing, stay rapturable. If Jesus tarries, Is you who's tarrying? The longer you tarry for perfection, the longer Jesus will come. May God help us. So let's move on quickly and close. This is what the Bible is talking. This is what George Warnock was talking about. So initially when we get born again, it's only the spirit that's born again. It's like that lava, the butterfly. So when you're looking at it from the outside, that's why you look at the average Christian on the outside. He doesn't look anything like Jesus. But it doesn't mean that what he has is not real. It's real. If you let's use another illustration. You know, we've used the lava illustration. Look at an egg. Like the egg of an eagle, for instance. It's just an egg. It's born. Everything that the eagle is inside. But it has to, inside that egg, it has to grow. Then the egg cracks open. Then you see these little tiny things. Very tiny. Doesn't look like the mother eagle yet. But if you keep feeding them, if you keep developing them, one day those little eaglets that don't look anything like the mother will grow and become exactly like the mother. You will become exactly like Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. So, but you have to understand that there is a process that is involved. I've mentioned this and I'll just hit it running. And George Warnock brings it. He said, the plan is very simple. He said, prayer is very important. Conscription. He said, but that's not enough. He said, God gave us a simple plan. And you find it in Ephesians chapter 4. Quickly. Ephesians chapter 4. And look at verse 13. I'm going to quote the other part because of time. He says he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists. The plan is very simple. If you don't, my own Olubi Johnson personal, keep it in verse 11 here. My personal experience has proven this thing in my own personal life. The rest of the church is still going to come to find out this thing I'm saying. You know, the Yoruba people have a saying, they say, Oragba. What that means is that when an elderly person says something, if it looks as if it's not going to come to pass, you know, quickly, later on it will come to pass. This is not Olubi Johnson's word. This is the word of the Apostle Paul, which is the word of the Holy Spirit. George Warnock picked this in 1951. I was not even born. To show you that it had nothing to do with me. Praise the Lord. Are you listening to me? I picked it independently in 1979, 1980. Then later on, I now came to read George Warnock's book many years later, maybe about 5-10 years later. But the point I want to make is this. In my personal experience, I discovered that what this man said is very true. What Paul said here, what the Holy Ghost said here, you are not going to grow into perfection if you not feed from the apostolic and prophetic anointings. It's not going to happen. No amount of prayer and consecration on your own will do it. Because there is a certain amount of nourishment and revelation that comes through those ministries. It is when you couple it with what you are getting individually and in the local church, and you bring it all together, that it will produce this growth. It was one of the reasons why we set up Scripture Pasture. I'll take you a little bit down memory lane. I came back from England. I was born again in 1979. I came back late 1980, so I was just over 1 year old as a Christian. But God had mercy on me. Now, at the time, I didn't understand it fully. I understood it better about 2 or 3 years later. Then we started Scripture Pasture. And this was what happened. You know, I was working with Brother Emiko in Koinonia Ministries. And we used to sell Kenneth Hagin books, you know, and magazines, and take it around the whole of Nigeria. That's how so many pastors, I got to know people like Pastor Adeboye, you know, David Oyedepo, all of them. Everybody used to come to Brother Emiko to come and buy Kenneth Hagin books. So any meeting, We will go there. I'll be the person, you know, doing all the tapes, you know, reproducing the tapes, selling the books. That's how I got to know. Brother Miko did very well. He took me around everybody. I got to know Idahosa. I got to know everybody. But I noticed something. I was a young Christian, much younger than everybody else. That's how I became friends with so many people, like Brother Fred Adegoke, you know, the Honorable Minister Akin Adeshino, and everybody. You know, they were in Ife back in those days. That's how I became friends with everybody. You know, I mean, you know, the many of the people who are very spiritually ambitious. We used to talk. I noticed something. I noticed people were not growing. I didn't understand it initially. I just noticed. Go around, 10 books, you know. What's going on here? What's going on here? Occasionally, God will allow me, they would invite me, I come to preach. I used to go and preach in University of Ibadan, Christian Union. Sometimes they would invite me to Ilorin. Sometimes they would invite me to Ife. So I used to go around quite a bit. And I noticed something. I would go and I would preach. And I would teach Kenneth Hagin, teach E.W. Kenyon, teach all this prophetic and, you know, all this revelation knowledge. The next week, another guy would come and say the exact opposite of what I said. Then I understood it. The saints were confused. They will hear this today. Then they will hear that tomorrow. Then they will hear this other one. So after a while, in their mind, the thing was not clear. So it became clear to me, this is what is happening. Then Brother Miko said something to me. He said, Olubi, one of the reasons why you have grown was that you got the right things. The apostolic, the prophetic. Then I got pastor, teacher, all those anointings. When I got them, of course I grew. It wasn't because I was better than anybody else. It was a question of going with the plan. There is a plan. And it's a divine plan. But when people don't do it, you know, a lot of people just live only on the pastoral and evangelistic anointing. You can't go into perfection with that. You need the prophetic. You need the apostolic. And so, when we saw that, that was what now inspired us. Look, let's start a church. We didn't think of, we said, you know, a forum. You know, where we can teach the word of God on a systematic, consistent basis. Let these anointings flow inside so that people can grow. So this is it. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. What for? For the what? I didn't hear you. For the what? For the work of the ministry, for the what? Edifying of the body of Christ till we all come. I didn't hear you. In the unity of the faith and of the what? Unto what? Unto the? Of the? Of the? Jump to verse 15. But what? May do what? In some things. Nothing. Grow up into him in prosperity. Nothing. Grow up into him in faith. Nothing. Grow up into him in worship. Nothing. Which is the head, even Christ. He's talking holistic growth here. Holistic growth here. You can't. And this is the plan. In everything. You know what? When they see you, they should not send it between you and Jesus. When you stand, Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. You should be able to say, if you have seen me, you have seen Jesus. This plan, Jesus put it, he said, the works that I do shall you do also. There's so many scriptures, you know, we could quote, is what is going to close the age. The gospel of the kingdom preached to all nations. You know, they say, this is our God we have waited. You know, this is what the whole world is waiting for. They are actually waiting to see Jesus in the church. What they have seen so far is just the lava. They see the lava, they see the cocoon, they see something that talks like Jesus but doesn't look like Jesus. The church needs to break through. This is a real meaning of breakthrough. It should come to become that butterfly that's going to fly out. How is this thing going to happen? Three agents: the blood of Jesus, the Word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, and we're looking at verses 20 and 21. I will never forget the first time I had read the scripture many times as a young Christian, because I read my Bible in the first year. I'd already read my Bible once, two, three times. But I read it, it didn't strike me. But some years ago, many years ago now actually, you know, I said, wow, this thing has always been there. And I never saw it in the way I now saw it. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the what? I didn't hear you. Of the what? Next verse. Make you perfect. Let me just stop there. Everyone say, through the blood, make you perfect. Through the blood, make you perfect. Through the blood, make you perfect. Through the blood, I didn't hear you. Make you perfect. Through the blood, make you perfect. Through the blood, make you perfect. Don't you ever say you can't be perfect without the blood? It's not going to happen. Why? The next phrase tells us why. In every good work, to do His will, working in you, it is the blood that makes the channel open through which He can work. Without the blood, the channel through which He can work is blocked. And what happens is that so many Christians, because of, and watch this, self-denial, you know, and dishonesty, you know, they don't use the blood. So the life of God is not flowing in sufficient measure from the Spirit to do any appreciable work in the soul and in the body. Hence, the man tells us, he says, if we say we have no sins, then we deceive ourselves. And He's not working in us. If we say we have no sin, if we say we have not sinned, He says His word is not working. The very action of the blood depends on the honesty of our hearts. So the blood is an extremely important agent, and it needs consistent application. Now, as I say, Father, we confess our sins, so we clean with the blood. In Jesus' name we have life. So the thing can flow. Then He can do this work and work in us. Then He can, then the seed will no longer remain in the spirit. They will start coming into the mind, the will, the emotions, into the body to make them blameless. The second agent is the word. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And look at verse 5. But whoso keepeth His word, I didn't hear you. In Him, verily, is the love of God perfected. I like the word verily there. It means truly. It means that the thing is working as it should, effectively. Whoso keepeth His word, the love of God is perfected in him. Again, whenever you see the word in him there, always see it as spirit, soul, and body. It's not just spirit alone. So when He's talking about in you, He's talking about the whoso keepeth His word in him, in his, ever say in his spirit, in his soul, and in his body, truly is the love of God perfected. So that work does not stop in the spirit. What we have had in the church hitherto, in majority of cases, is that the work of the Holy Ghost stops in the spirit. Because most Christians, they're not taught, they don't know how. So, you know, the thing just stops in the spirit. Very little is done in the mind, the will, the emotions. Very little, if any, is done in the body. So, you see what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He said, I could not write unto you as unto spiritual,
But as unto babes, where there's amongst you envy and strife, you behave just like people are not born again. I know you're born again. That's I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he's saying. He said, are you not yet carnal and walk like mere men, like ordinary men who have not been born again? What do you see in the church today? Even the pastors jostling together for position, jostling together for titles, jostling envy in many big denominations. You have to go and lobby so that they will put you in a good parish. There's no difference between them and the political party. I'm being serious. They are just like mere men. Fighting, envy, strife. Yet they are born again. They are children of God. But there is very little work that has been done in the soul, in the will, the mind, the emotions. Very little work has been done in the body. That's why you hear pastors committing fornication, committing adultery, leaving the wife. The man will divorce the wife, go and marry the secretary, and the church continues. Oh yes, it's come on. It's come on. The church continues. In fact, even grows. You know why? They're comfortable with that pastor. So that if they themselves do such a thing, what would the pastor say? In fact, most people like that. They like that kind of church. It's very comfortable. All the man talks about every Sunday, day in, day out, is giving and breakthrough. No other. The only condition for your blessing is to give. So once you give into this ministry, and because you have sown it, then bless the God of my neighbor, say amen. Yeah. Somebody, some people, a whole 1 hour preaching. That's all. Amen. Amen. This will happen, man. No other condition. So the only condition I have to do is just come to church, put some things at the offering. It doesn't matter how I live, and the blessing will come. It's a lie. Now, it's not a lie that the blessing comes. It's a lie because it's not in line with the word of God. Because sometimes the blessings do come, but it's not from God. This is the problem. The last thing, the Spirit. 1 John chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Talking about zero sin rate. No man! I didn't hear you. Let's put this in the New King James, Bimbo. It says it in a better way. Exactly. No one has seen God at any time. Get the sense. There is a spirit the Holy Ghost wants to get across to us here. I'll give it to you in a minute. First of all, I heard Ken Copeland preach this many years ago. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been what? Perfected in us. Again, always see it as spirit, soul, and body. So the love is being perfected in my spirit. It's being perfected in my soul. It's being perfected in my body. Now watch this. Next verse. By this, we know that we what? Abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. Now reverse it back and you get a revelation. And the revelation is this. It is the Holy Ghost that is abiding inside me. So when we say He's loving, He's being perfected in us, it is the Spirit that is abiding in us that is causing the love to be perfected in us. Is it clear? That's what he's saying. And you know what he's saying? He said, nobody has seen God at any time. But you know what? If we start using the power of the Holy Spirit to love one another and get the love of perfected, we'll start seeing God in one another. And I don't have to go to heaven to see God. I'll see God in Sarah. And I'll see God in Buiga. And I'll see God in Dewe. And I'll see God in Tunji. You know why? Whenever God talks to them and tells them to do something for me, then God becomes real to me through them. No man has seen God at any time. But if I let the Spirit that is inside me perfect the love of God inside me, then men will see God in me. Is it clear? I got to close.
Those are the three agents. Now, I'm going to sound very, very dictatorial here. But it's the truth. There is no other way. It is not across the sea. It is not in heaven. It doesn't matter where you go, where you look, you are coming back here. There is no, God has no other plan. This is the plan. Through the revelation knowledge imparted by the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, using the agency of the blood, the word, and the spirit, that's how you become perfect. Without it, you will stay like a cocoon. It is the tragedy of the church. See, I could not write unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto babies in Christ. You know, you see it all the time in the church. Even in this church, God is having mercy on us here, thank God. You know, I question, I don't see that thing. You don't see people fighting over stupid things. Jostling for position. You know, things that, you know, by now, by reason of use, you should not even countenance it. One young boy came, some nuns, they came to give my wife and I a presentation the other day. And one of them said something. Young boy. But what he said, it struck me. He was so profound, darling. You know what that boy said? He said, men gives awards, but it is God who rewards. Ah! I'll say it again. Men, not any man can give you an award. They can call you Reverend Olubijos. And call you this and that and that, you know, Pastor Senior Supra Evangelist. And blah, 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 blow, blow, blow. You know, call you everything, pump you up, but it's only God who rewards. It does not matter what men say. What matters is what God does inside you. And close it. Is the love of God being perfected in you? Don't answer, you will know. You know why? He said, know ye not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you are reprobates? If your will is becoming humble, you will know. If your mind is becoming clearer, and you are only thinking on things that are true, honorable, just, pure, you will know. I mean, you will know. You will know. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? If your emotions are being controlled by love, joy, peace, if you're always like that hymn we sang on Wednesday, you know, that beautiful, those things, they came all out of the Wesley revivals. You know, that beautiful hymn says, let sense be dumb, let flesh retire, speak through the earthquake, wind and fire. You know, take from our souls the strength. If it's happening, you will know. Why deceive yourself? You either have it or you don't have it. Let me correct that. You either are having it because it's in present continuous. Do you understand? Your mind should be cleaner today than it was last month. Your emotions should be more under control than it was last month. You should be kinder now. You should be gentler. You should be more patient. Your thoughts should be cleaner. Even if a wrong thought comes, there is so much his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. There is so much zoe. There is so much dunamis. Inside the mind, it brings it immediately into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You will know. You will know. I gave an example about a year or some months ago when I preached on this. And I used my own personal experience. And I'm going to close with it. See, this thing is a gradual thing. But it is significant. You can tell. You see, I Olubi Johnson, I look at landmarks in my life. Before I got born again, I was like 1,000. I'm talking about zero sin rate. 1,000 sins every day. I'm just using a hypothetical figure because, you know, it was so many. Because I was a sinner.
wasn't born again. Then I got born again. When I got born again and the nature of God came into my spirit, I didn't stop sinning, but my frequency and gravity of sins dropped drastically. It dropped from 1,000 to 100. Now 100 is not acceptable, but it's far better than 1,000. So I knew I had changed. Then when I got to know about life scriptures and I began to pray more and pray in tongues and obey the apostles, thank God for Kenneth Hagin. He said, pray at least 1 hour in tongues every day in this end time. I didn't know the Bible. I didn't know the things I know now. I just obeyed the man. My sin rate dropped. It went from 100 bars to 50. I said, this is right. There's no point deceiving ourselves. Are you listening to me? Then when I began to know more about the life of God and prayer and groaning and travail, it went from 50 to 25. Bam! I said, yes, I'm on the right track. You want to know if you're on the right track? Look inside. Then after a while, and I began to walk in all of those things, you know, I began to use the blood much more frequently, with more diligence, you know, 6 hours, every 6 hours, every opportunity, it went 25, bam, to 10. I say it's working. I can't deceive myself. I say, you know, something happened to me. I said it here in church, glancingly over the years. I said they lied to us. I thank God for the Bible. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. And I thank God for the apostles and the prophets and the men of God God sent my way. Either through books or tapes or however God sent them to me. Otherwise, I would still have been in the wilderness of sin. Because they told me it was not possible. And it was a lie. It went down to 10. Then as I became more diligent and, you know, and with the mercy, I began to understand mercy and grace better. And kindness and forgiveness, washing of feet, it went down from 10 to 5. And now it goes, it oscillates between 2, 3, 1. So there are days it goes to 0 and stays there. And some days I just stay 0 until I meet some wonderful people. All of my wrong was imminent. And when I meet them, I go up to 2, 3, then I go back to 0. And I say, God, keep sending them. You know what? It's a check on me. It's a check on you. Never pray that bad people will be taken out of your life. Pray that God will give you grace to overcome them. You know why? It doesn't matter where you go in this world, you will meet bad people. If God is really going to use you, if God is going to make you who He wants you to make, He wants to be able to trust you to put you inside anywhere, like Daniel. God will take you and put you in the middle of Babylon, in the middle of terrible people, and your light will still shine through. That's where we're going. Zero sin rate. Let us pray. That's where we're going. To God this afternoon. That's where we're going. Zero sin rate. It's available. Let anybody tell you it's not available. It's because they're not doing it according to the plan. There's a plan. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, they'll give you revelation knowledge. You start applying it, the blood, the word, and the spirit. It will happen. Working in you, that which is well pleasing in His sight. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You may still look like a cocoon now, but if you stay with the plan, you will gradually metamorphose into the butterfly. You've already been born. You're already a cocoon. You're already a lover. You're already born. You have all the genes of God is inside you. All the divine nature and attribute, the God's DNA is already there. You just have to let it grow and let it develop. That's all. You are a child of God. You are born of God. But He's locked up in your spirit. And in many cases, He's never been able to. You don't even give Him access to the soul and to the body. So even though you're a child of God, you behave like the devil 90% of the time. And people can't even tell the difference. You walk like mere men. But you can change that now. Love divine.
All love.
This verse. This was written in 1700s. By John Wesley. He is a prophet. Was a prophet. He was seen years down the line. He expressed it to some degree. Look at what he said. We're going to sing it again. But I've been prompted by the Holy Spirit. Come Almighty to deliver. Deliver from what? The sin nature. He was not writing as a sinner. He was writing this song as a Christian. You have to understand that. He wasn't writing this as a, evangelical message for sinners. This is to Christians. Deliver us from. He understood. Then he said, let us all thy life. He understood the life of God. Zoe. You have to understand something, dearly beloved brethren. It is sad that this generation lacks knowledge. They don't even read. They don't want to hear. All you hear in this place is just cliches. You don't hear any real teaching. These boys, you know what they studied? They went to Oxford. The first thing they studied was Greek and Hebrew. Back in those days. When they, in the Holy Club, when they read the New Testament, they read it in Greek. They didn't read it in English. John Wesley, they used to read it in Greek. The Greek New Testament. So he knew Zoe. He understood. He said, let us all thy Zoe, let us all thy life receive. Then suddenly he understood that there has to be a coming of the Lord in us, in the fullness of Christ. You're not writing as a sinner. And never, he said, and when it comes, it's zero sin rate right there. Never more, permanent. Come and stay permanently, spirit, soul, and body. He understood the temple is the soul and the body. Then he explains how he's going to get there. He said, thee we would be always blessing. My wife said about talked about it last week. Thanksgiving. thanksgiving will bring two things: multiplication and glory. Serve thee as thy host above. I'm on earth, but I'll live as though I'm in heaven. As he is, so are we in this world. Pray and praise thee. See how he mixed it. It's not praise alone, and it's not prayer alone. It's prayer with an attitude. Thank you, darling, for that exhortation. An attitude of thanksgiving. Pray and praise thee once in a week. Under pressure. In this little hymn, he gives us the technology. How are we going to get there? When you pray without ceasing, in the understanding, in tongues, with groaning, with your thoughts. I've taught you all the details and all the intricacies. We're not going to do all that. But when you mix it, pray, and you do it without ceasing, you know what's going to happen? You're going to glory in perfect love. The love of God will be perfected in you. Now we are going to sing the hymn again, not religiously. We're now going to sing it with understanding. This verse, come on.
Come, Almighty, to
get it. I'm talking about this free without measure. And you're finally crowned, and you've got the glory, you got the, and you have it in manifestation. When you look back where you're coming from, and you see where God has brought you, you will take the crown off. You put it at his feet. You know why? Without his mercy and grace, you could not have got there. Give the Lord a clap. You will know. See, when we talk about grace and mercy, we don't say it as religious cliches. To me, it's not a religious cliche. Humility is not a religious cliche. I have come to see and I have come to understand, and I'm still getting clearer to me every day. Without it, you're not going anywhere. It's the mercy and the grace of God that's going to take you. Your effort is important, but it's only the mercy that will amplify it that will take you there. Hence Jesus, the Bible says, he was heard in that he feared. Jesus knew where his salvation was. That's why he prayed a lot. And that's why he was all, even though he was God, being a man, he understood his limitations as a man, and he was totally dependent on the mercy of the Father. And that's why he was never arrogant. And so he said, you want to follow me? You want to follow me? He said, learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. Put one hand on your heart. Raise your other hand. God, we're going to pray. Talk to God. Is zero sin rate a religious cliche? Something you ought to talk and preach about? Or is only you determine, I'm going to experience that? Talk to God. We're going to all pray in a minute. The Bible says the Holy Ghost has been sent to work in us to will and to do of God's good pleasure. I can't do it by myself, but with the Holy Ghost, with the blood, with the word, and the power of the Holy Spirit, of course I can do it. Not yet, not I. I like that. You see, those things that are now real in my thinking, they are not just verses of scripture. I now understand why Paul said that. He said, yet not I. Yes, I will place my path, yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. It's me, but yet not I. I, yet not I, can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Understanding is so important. So we are in the right position. We know who we are dealing with. And Jesus didn't say, get us for wisdom. He said, I am meek. And that's the key. Meek and lowly in heart. That's why the church hasn't got there. We've been playing around in the wilderness for 2,000 years. And perishing and dying there. God said, turn not or we won't go. We still want our onions and our garlic, our leeks. And arrogance, pride, high-mindedness, stubbornness, unbelief. He will send us prophets rising night and day. Every prophet in our generation that has preached this thing has been persecuted, has been ostracized, including myself. They don't want to hear it. The ones that come and tell them lies, having itching ears, heaping teachers unto themselves. Well, I got news for you. The God who owns his church is on the way. And he's coming. And nobody can stop him. And when he comes, he will separate. Make a distinction between those who serve God and those who serve him not. Get on the right side of the fence now. Put that hand up. Put your hand on your heart. Say, Father, I confess our sins. So clean with the blood. So clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word that has come to me, reminding me, confirming to me, admonishing me that it is your will that your church begins to experience a zero sin rate. That your seed, the divine sperm, the divine nature should remain not only in our spirits, but in our souls, our minds, our wills, our emotions, and our physical body. And when it remains there, then we cannot sin. Because your nature inside us will not allow us to sin. Oh God, I understand it now. Have mercy on me. God, I want this more than anything else in life. This one thing is what I desire. I don't want two things.
Oh God, give me this total sanctification, that I be blameless, spirit, soul, and body. Then I know any other thing will come. Oh God, this is the greatest cry and desire of my heart, because it is your desire, it is your plan, as revealed in your word through your prophets and your apostles. Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me to apprehend that for which I have already been apprehended, to reach for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name. Nikatofredeva. Nikatola mashaki. Nikatufriningotolomasha. Zifrikatolomaka. Laprikatusku frigiglamatolomangatus. Zifrikatolomatul. Lambrakatasku frinis. Jakatofrikatolomatul. Tolomatolomatufrish. Zofrinis, in Jesus' name.